WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Back in hour number two on this wet and damp Tuesday, but at least it's not really cold out, right? Looking at 46 degrees, could be worse. You could be standing on the platform waiting for a MBTA train that doesn't show up. So yet again this weekend, the MBTA ran into staffing issues that caused people not to be able to get home from Boston. People who had to either make alternate arrangements or, in some cases, take bus shuttles, adding hours onto their trip because, again, staffing issues kept them from being able to have enough trains running to New Bedford and Fall River. What is the reason behind that? They say that they don't have enough people trained to cover if people are out. Why are so many people out? Is it sickness going around? Is it a quiet quitting type thing where they're calling in sick to avoid having to make that run for whatever reason? One of the things that I've heard floated around is that what happened was they were so eager to launch this service in March as opposed to the original May date that they jumped the gun and that they didn't have enough folks trained in that route, that if they'd stuck to the original May date, the people that they hired as part of the big hiring surge that happened just a couple weeks before service began here in New Bedford, they would have had local people here that wanted to do this route that would have been available, but those people aren't trained yet. So they're not certified on that route yet. So you have to get certified to drive that route, and they don't have enough certified operators. And that could be what the issue is, that they should have waited till May, and they wouldn't have had these problems. So what do you feel about that? Are some trains better than none? It's easy to say that when it's not your train that gets canceled or you are seeking alternate ways to get home from Boston after you got yourself stranded there. 508-996-0500. We can talk about that and whatever else is on your mind. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Mr. Weisberg.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm all right.
What do you think about this governorship payroll story?
I think that, you know, there's some horrible people doing horrible things, and for some reason they targeted him. I haven't seen any more reporting if they've come out with a motivation for the suspect, but my guess would be, you know, it could be either a combination of something to do with his Democrat policies. It could be something to do with the fact that he's Jewish, and the fact that it happened during Passover doesn't sit right with me.
Did you see the video of the governor in front of the house?
I saw on Sunday. I didn't see if there was anything after that, but I saw some of the damage to the house, yeah.
I think there's a lot wrong with that story.
Why do you think that?
Well, did you see all that damage? That took a little time. Apparently, they all got out of the house. No smoke inhalation to them, no nothing. And now, of course, this guy, they're saying that... I lost my train of thought. Oh, this whole thing, he killed his parents first, I guess they said.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was to get money. And then they said that was going to lead to helping him to kill President Donald Trump. I don't know where that, I don't know that kind of thinking. Why does he have to kill his parents and burn somebody's house down to kill Trump? I'm not falling for that. I just think that story's wacky. The governor standing right in front of you can see the damage. You know, I'm just out here letting everybody know that I'm a good wife, a husband, and I'm a good father. And there's a need to drag all that kind of stuff into it, too. That story is not straight. Something is wrong with it.
I don't understand why you're questioning it. Well, I mean, one thing I will say, too, about the getting out of the house.
Why I'm questioning it. I just told you why.
But one thing I'll say about getting out of the house without smoke inhalation, it's a large house. There's multiple wings to the house.
Okay. So for all that damage to happen, because I thought of this too, for all that damage and all, I'm sure there were some pretty good working smoke detectors in that building, and I'm sure it would have woke them up no matter where they were. You didn't think of that?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know the layout of the house. I don't know
no, but
what the fire
make sense
system
to you
is.
That alarms would wake people up. That's why you have alarms. So this guy had enough time to do all. Did you see the damage?
Yeah.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
So no smoke alarm ahead of time? I mean, did he disconnect every smoke alarm? Did he have time to get away with that? You know. And how did he climb that? They said he climbed a wall, jumped over the fence or something, and got in there. How do you even do that? I'm sure the governor's house is pretty well protected.
No, I mean, that was one of the criticisms I saw on Sunday, is that they said that the house probably wasn't protected enough and that they should consider adding more protection on to not just this mansion, governor's residence, but all governor's residences. So they were saying on Sunday that there should have been more security than there was.
Oh, there's going to be a lot more to that story. It just happened, but we just have to wait a little while. But that other guy that said he was here working and all, and they sent him back. It was a mistake, and they wanted him sent back. The whole story. The guy came here when he was 2 years old. How did he get here? And he never became an American citizen. This is what pisses me off, too. People will come here from Africa, Portugal, England, wherever they're coming from. And they'll come here. Yeah, they want to work. They live nice lives. But they refuse to become American citizens. If I'm going to go and live in Portugal and I want to be there, I'm going to become a citizen of Portugal. So them coming here, they want to work. That's fine. What is the holdup? I have some friends that very recently became American citizens because they kept hearing my mouth. They finally did it. I know they feel that they're giving up their heritage. If they're from France, they're giving up France. They feel like they're losing part of them. They're not. They came here for a better life, and I understand that. I accept that. Become a citizen because you're losing out on other American benefits by not being an American. It's kind of disrespectful to the American-born citizen who is here. This is our country. And it's kind of a slap in our face. And I consider it disrespect. You love this place that much. You want to live here. You become an American citizen. That is what you do. And one last thing. This message is for Gilly. Gilly, my man. Listen, the story is old. You had me rewatching the video 5 or 6 times to see if I missed anything. And yesterday, when you went on Chris McCarthy's show, you got him repeating the two words that really almost made me fall off the chair. The two words, viciously attacked. Where was the viciousness, Gilly? Now, you might say, why am I defending her? I don't know her. I didn't even vote for her. That's the truth. I just can't see anybody convicted for something that they didn't do. I don't know how you went to grade school, because the kids must have insulted you and harassed you left and right, probably just by looking at you, if you're that sensitive, because I didn't see any vicious attack. Gilly, be a man, come out and say you planned it, you wanted to aggravate the lady, you knew what you was going to do, and you were hoping she was going to do something, but it wasn't a vicious attack, Gilly. So come out and say it, and I'll think more of you, because right now it's not too good. Thank you for the time.
Well, I want to ask you a question. So I have a friend who has lived in Japan for the last almost 20 years. So I think, well, what's it? So 2007, he moved to Japan for work.
Why was he there?
For work.
I was for work. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so he plans on returning back when he, I guess, retires. It wasn't going to be this long, but they ended up extending his stay out there. But when he comes back here, he's planning on coming back here. Do you think that he has to become a Japanese citizen because he's lived in Japan for 20 years?
What I'm going to say to you now, he was there 20 years. What's wrong with dual citizenship? I have a niece that was married in Australia. She stayed there over 12 years. She became an Australian citizen. She still was an American citizen. What is wrong with that, Mr. Weisberg?
He doesn't feel the need to do that. He's paying taxes in Japan to cover any services that he's using.
So why don't you tell me the wrong side of it? What's wrong with becoming a Japanese citizen and still being an American? I'd be happy to do that. I wouldn't mind being a citizen of every country.
He doesn't feel the need to do it.
An evil country. What?
He doesn't feel the need to do it. So you feel like you should have to do that.
He doesn't have to. I'm saying you're showing a certain amount of respect when you're showing another country that you weren't born in that you would like to be a citizen of that country. I don't see anything wrong with that either.
I have a family member that's lived in Australia for about 10 years and met her husband there, has a baby there, but she's still an American citizen. She's not an Australian citizen.
Because she didn't want to be. I'm not saying that you absolutely have to do that. Where did I say you have to do that? No, you don't have to.
You literally just said anybody that comes to this country has to become a citizen.
What did you find wrong with what I said? You don't think nobody should do that because they're not from there? You don't think all the people that come here should become citizens? You don't believe in that. Even though they came here to live here, work here, die here.
I don't think that they have to, no.
I'm still sick and tired of going into certain places where I don't understand what they're saying. Now, I go to the Market Basket a lot, and a lot of those Dominicans over there, they don't speak English. And if I'm asking them where something is, they just look at me, and they even start laughing as they walk away. I'm not going to be laughed at. I was born here. My father fought for this country.
Maybe that has nothing to do with where they were born or where they're from or what language they speak, and it has to do with you.
Why can't they learn the language? That was my original question.
Maybe they know the language, and they just don't want to talk to you.
That's your answer, that you don't feel they should learn the language if they want to live here and be here and die here?
I said maybe they know the language and they just don't want to talk to you.
Country, those people that came here illegally at the border, if they were told right there on the spot at the border before they came in, you need to serve our country in the military at least 2 years. Can you do that? Then you will become an American citizen right on the spot. If you can't
I would say, why don't you make your own citizens do that?
If you can't fight for the country you want to live in and work in, then you don't belong here. Don't come here because they're not.
How many years did you serve, Mary?
I was born here.
Well, that doesn't make you special.
The whole point. I was that born here. And
so,
the whole point is
your level of superiority that you have over anybody else in the world besides an American citizen.
I'm not superior over anyone
you
else.
You literally just laid
I'm
out
sorry,
nothing but superiority.
I regret that I didn't win into the service. I was young, dumb, and stupid. At least I can come out here and admit that. And I wish I could do it today. If my country needed me, I would. It wouldn't matter to me what condition I'm in or what age I'm in.
Well,
I'm an American citizen.
We
have to fight for this country, bottom line. And for those people to want to come here and live here 20 or 30 years and never become a citizen, pack your stuff and go away. That's what I have to say, and I'm not going to take any of that back because there's nothing wrong with what I said. You're trying to twist it over.
I'm not twisting anything.
You're starting to sound like a communist again. I'm sick of it, really. You don't like Trump's issue. You don't like his policies. You don't like anything. You still don't like him. You don't like nothing about him, right? And people are still trying to kill him, and that doesn't bother you at all. That's murder, whether he's a president
Nobody should be killing anybody. I'm not for anybody murdering anybody.
Well, you have to disagree with almost everything I say, which you have that right to do, but I'm coming at you with it. Because what I'm saying, I feel, is correct. You come here, you don't want to be a citizen, get out. Get out.
All right, we'll hold it there. You have a good day.
Have a good day.
All right.
Bye-bye.
See, we still love each other. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Tim. Two things on that with the Harvard money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, first off, he hates Massachusetts, number one.
You mean Donald Trump?
You know, he's not going to give us any breaks because, you know, there's 70, 60 some odd percent of the people in Massachusetts do not like him. And he's not going to give us any help, and he knows that. He's going to go against the schools. Or whatever. I mean, I know there's other schools, but he's not going to do it. He's not going to do that. And secondly, how can the president of El Salvador be sitting there in the same room and asking him to let go of the, well, he didn't really ask him, but he was asked, why can't he let this guy come back to America? That doesn't make any sense to me, does it, to you?
No, it seems like they're just trying to dodge the issue.
Yeah, this, again, this man's the president. He's the president of their country. I mean, that's kind of stupid, really.
I mean, you've got the two people in charge of the two countries involved. That's how you make it happen. There's nobody. Yeah. There's nobody else that can do it besides those two people.
Right, and then Trump is sitting there like, you know, he said something last week. Of course, he's twisting it. This man is like twisting all around now. I don't know what's going on, but he's fading.
I'm just gonna say it. I think he's senile. I think he's losing his mind.
Yeah, I think he's
old and senile. And I can say that because people said it for 4 years about Joe Biden, and there was, you know, nobody questioned that. So I can say it about Donald Trump.
Absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. I agree with you 100% there. I think he's starting to slip. He's slipping away because he's, you know, he wants to stay in power. He wants to be the big king. He's not. I mean, and this is what's happening. And I don't know. I don't know what else to say after that. You get the bosses of both countries and you can't send this man back. I don't know what to say.
All right. Well, thank you for the call.
Okay. All right. Take it easy.
Have a good day. And let's take one more before I got to take a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
What's going on?
Skilly. Did I hear Mary right?
I don't know. What did you hear?
Well, I'm just asking, did she attack me?
She didn't attack you. She just told you that it wasn't a vicious attack that you endured.
Really?
I don't think it's an attack. I think that's a questioning of what you were saying.
I'd like to know where she got her law degree. I mean, I've never attacked any person except if they're an elected official. Have I ever attacked any caller?
No, but you've made this a public issue by repeatedly bringing it up, so she has the right to question what you were claiming.
Wait a minute. The question is, I'm asking you a question. The question is, was by the law, by the letter of the law, she was wrong. Ask any lawyer, okay? If there was reversed, if I did what she did, and she followed me, she attacked me, no matter what she did. But she's attacking, Mary's attacking me of all people.
I believe Mary questioned the use of the phrase viciously attacked.
It was viciously. She went out of her way.
That's a subjective thing.
Well, let me ask you a question, Jim. In the first place, there was 10 other city councils there. Nobody got up to dictate like the way she did, okay? If you look, ask any lawyer, by the letter of the law, she attacked me. No matter if it's a little finger or anything, you cannot put your hands on anybody. That's the letter of the law. She followed me. I tried to avoid her. I went behind the chief of police. She went right across. And by the way, they had a police officer there to protect her. Why didn't she just call a police officer? Now she wants to do the... They should pay her the $50 an hour if she wants to run the chamber like the way she ran it. What gave her the right to go across? I was avoiding her. So how can Mary get on there with all, you know, it's amazing that she said, Mary, do me a favor. Ask the lawyer that you know. Ask any lawyer that you run into. Ask anybody and see if by the letter of the law, who was right, Gilly Sanfiolos or Linda Morris.
All right, well, hold
you know,
it
how
there.
How can you get on the phone and attack everybody? You attack everybody.
I don't think she was attacking you. I think she was questioning your claim. That's not an attack.
Who is she to question my claim?
Well, you're the one that made it a you made it a public issue, Gilly, by bringing it up on the radio almost every single time you call. So then people have the right to question what it is that you're saying.
Yeah, but I don't mind if you know what you're talking about. Sometimes it is better to keep your mouth shut and be considered a fool than open it and remove all doubts. So. Well, don't follow
She chooses to see it differently than you do.
Oh, she sees it, but does that make it right for her to get on the phone and attack somebody? I can attack anybody. I can attack you guys on the radio.
Nobody's attacking her. Nobody's attacking you. She was not attacking you. She was calling into question the claim of it being a vicious attack.
It is a vicious. It's a vicious attack.
It's a subjective term.
Excuse me?
It's a subjective term. That means people are open to an opinion on it.
If she was the wrong what she did, yes or no, Tim?
I don't think she was questioning whether or not it was wrong what she did. I think she was questioning the severity of what it was.
You have seen the video, Tim. Was it wrong what?
Oh, sorry. Hold on, Gilly.
Wrong.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on hold there. Yeah, okay. She shouldn't have put a finger on you.
Okay.
Oh, I did it again. Hold on. Wait a second here. Sorry, I was trying to put another call.
It wasn't a vicious attack.
All right.
Okay? What she did was wrong. So since she starts attacking people, she's attacked everybody when she calls in and her, the stuff that she brings up.
Okay. I got to hold you there.
I don't go assaulting anybody on the phone with words, especially people, citizens, you know, people that are calling in. I attack elected officials because they're there for one purpose and one purpose only, to serve the public, not for their own stuff.
Okay, I got to take a break and I got to go to the news. I'm already behind. I got to hold you there.
I appreciate the time, but you just said that what Linda did was wrong. You said it yourself. It's against the law. Ask any lawyer.
Right, and it's wrong, but I also wouldn't call it a vicious attack either.
What is a vicious attack and not a vicious attack? Can you explain to me what's the difference?
You could say it was intentionally motivated maneuver, but a vicious attack would be to actually harm you in some way. And you were not harmed. You can't claim that you were harmed.
I can be harmed physically. I mean, mentally, you know, for her. I don't know what she's got in her hand. I don't know. When somebody comes after you, Tim, you don't know what they're capable of doing.
See, this is why it's hard for people to be on your side, Gilly, because you stretch it out and you extrapolate it out to a point where it gets ridiculous.
Amazing. It's amazing how the system works, huh? That's why this city is becoming a toilet. And that's why all this stuff with the police is going on, because nobody sticks up for their rights. And I'm not going to go in Berlin, but I just want
to. Hey, dude, you're absolutely right to stick up for yourself. No doubt about that. I am not questioning that at all.
But her, ask any lawyer or any judge. She's got to know some intelligent people. Tell her, Mary, go ask any lawyer. Ask two lawyers, three lawyers. And no one lawyer is going to say that I was an attack. That's
okay.
All matters. So stop picking on the callers.
I got to hold you there.
Work together to make this a better city.
Again, you made it a public issue by bringing it up, so she has the right to comment on it.
Oh, really? So you want everybody to comment on people saying things?
No, you've made it a news story. You've made it something that people can offer an opinion on.
It is a news story. I get attacked in front of the chief of police.
Okay, we're going in circles. I got to take this break. You have a good day.
Bye.
All right, I got to take this break. Caller, hang on. We will get to you as soon as we come back. Quick break and then the news, and we'll be right back to the calls. And executive decision, we've got some calls lined up, so we're going to skip the news. Sorry, Mike, we'll get to you at 8:30. Well, you'll be back at 8 o'clock anyway with more news for everybody. So let's go back to the phones, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm not Gilly.
I can tell.
Just wanted to put that out there so everybody knows. I think that guy ought to have a podcast so he can put it all out there. He can get rid of all that energy. And we'll actually have a choice whether we want to click on it or not instead of having to listen to it on the radio. I don't know about this Harvard thing that I just saw this morning. What is it? Was Trump holding funding from them or something?
Yeah, so they required them to eliminate DEI policy, and they had a whole bunch of requirements that they wanted them to follow in order to get this $2.2 billion in federal funding. And Harvard said, no, we're not going to do that. Which if you're Harvard, you don't need to worry about $2.2 billion.
Right. Yeah. So they can. Yeah. they're one of the more preeminent universities in the world. I think they can handle it. But that's their problem, whatever. But what I'm thinking of this morning is these assassination attempts on Donald Trump. This kid, this 17-year-old kid out there in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Yeah, I guess it's Wisconsin. I was just watching something last night, and they've discovered evidence. He was talking to somebody about relocating or escaping to the Ukraine after his attempt is made. Now that kind of concerns me, because now that's the second would-be assassin that has ties to the Ukraine.
Well, but does he, or is it just, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald wanted to go to Russia too? Does that mean that there's necessarily, you know, some sort of plot there, or is it just more, this is where I can escape to?
Well, the guy that tried to shoot through the fence at the golf course down mm-hmm. there in Florida, he was active in the Ukraine. He was actively looking to buy weapons from the Ukraine, and that stuff is coming out now too. So this is where it pays to pay a little bit more attention to the news than just looking at the face value, just looking at the shocker headlines. You read into things, and you'll discover a whole lot more that might lead you to an opinion that you wouldn't have had if you just paid attention to the headline.
Or you run into misinformation or incorrect information or misinterpretation and confirmation bias.
Well, all right. I'll say this. Does the fact that we have preconceived notions, does that influence our opinions on other things as we're going forward?
Yes, absolutely. It's called confirmation bias.
Right. So, you hate Trump anyways, so you are unintentionally going to seek out things that back up what makes you feel better about...
Well, no, I'm not, because I'm a normal, rational person, so I try to find balanced information, and I don't look for things that support my mindset.
Right. But so we're looking at it two different ways. I mean, I think that there's a Ukrainian thing there. I think that that should be looked into a little bit more. And I don't know. These are sad days that things are getting to this point. You know, we should all be sitting at the table and discussing things instead of burning down Teslas and, you know, throwing Molotovs at police headquarters. You know, that's got to end.
And people shouldn't be trying to burn down governor's mansions too, right, with Democrat governors inside.
Exactly. Hey, I want to look further into that. All right, Shane Burgo. Let's now that you mentioned the Shapiro guy getting his house attacked. There's a whole lot of anti-Semitism that's going on, and I can... You can't... that's a tough one. Yeah, we have freedom of speech in America, but that stuff's got to end. That taking it to the next level, that's got to end.
Yeah, well, I think the bigger issue is we also have a lot of mental illness problems in America, and unfortunately, people who are mentally ill get drawn to extremist ideologies because, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's that, you know, they find comfort in it. I don't know if it's that, you know, there's just something wrong in the brain that takes, but for some reason, people that suffer from mental illness tend to be drawn toward extremist positions one way or the other.
It's the dopamine. I was actually just watching something on ADHD this morning.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. So, I mean, I think that's kind of the bigger issue here. It's not whether or not these people have this stuff in their hearts. It's how easily they are corrupted by that stuff when they have something wrong in their brain.
That is very interesting coming from you, and I'll leave it at that. All right. Hey, I'm going to let you go. You have a good day.
You as well. I don't know what he means by that, but let's take another phone call, 508-996-0500. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning. I'm a little late to the party, but I was listening, and I heard you speaking with Gilly, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And what Linda Morad did to Gilly, you could call it, by the legal term, simple battery. Basically, what simple battery is, it's a crime involving an unlawful physical contact with another person, causing offensive touching or harm without the need for serious injury. So in a nutshell,
and you can use all the legal terms that you want. And by the way, I'm not defending this in any way. So I just want to put that out there right at the beginning. But now put that in front of a jury of 12 people. Does a jury of 12 people come back and say Linda Morad assaulted Gilly Safiolas?
If you look at the evidence, yes.
See, I don't think so.
If you look at the evidence and you go by the letter of the law, yes. Now, if you're going by emotion, you never know. That's why some people, before they go to a trial, even though it's a nothing trial, they accept a plea because you never know what the jury's thinking. You know what I mean? And a lawyer will discuss that with you and give you options. But the thing is, if you go by the letter of the law, she did. I was there. The chief was there. All the city councilors were there, and they all witnessed her touch him without permission. And she stopped his movement as well, which is not legal. You can't tell someone in a public building where to go or whatever. And the thing is, it was just really petty. We all know.
Oh, no doubt.
Linda Moore, yeah, it's all petty. I mean, she obviously doesn't like him, and the whole situation where people walked through has been happening there for years. No one else was upset about it besides Linda Morad, and she created this huge scene. But if you want to be, I try to look at this thing objectively. Obviously I've been involved here on both sides, and I've been attacked by her as well. So I'm kind of, I'm probably not the best guy to be biased or whatever. So I try to look at things, rationally, and I read the law, and I see what I saw, and she did touch him unlawfully. Now, I get what you're saying. He should have at least been given the opportunity to put it in front of the jury.
No, see, here's the thing. When it comes down to the level of a crime, they have to determine what the likelihood is. A prosecutor has to determine what the likelihood is of there being a conviction. And if there's no chance of anybody being convicted, they're not going to bring a case forward. They're not going to waste a jury's time. They're not going to waste a courtroom's time if they think it doesn't have a chance of having a conviction. So they're not going to press those charges if they think that there's nothing that's going to happen. And so that must have been what they felt as a result of it. I mean, how many defense attorneys are running to Gilly's, or any attorneys are running to Gilly's side to say, let me represent you. We've got a slam dunk case here.
Well, no one would represent someone that's going against the city. I've been through this. Yeah, no one will touch it. It would be very difficult to find a lawyer that would touch anything to do with going against any city councilor or the city. You would literally have to go out of the town and go find someone. No one here would do it. I've tried.
Well, I think you'd find people out of town that would be willing to do it.
Out of town, yeah. You'd have to hunt someone down out of town for sure.
I mean, Paul Cordero had a lawyer that was willing to go after the city.
But what I saw is, her connections, helped her. And obviously, they expedited it, differently than if it was you or I. And it was done in a fashion behind the scenes. Gilly didn't even know it was thrown out. It was in court, and it just disappeared. No paperwork, it was just the oddest thing. I mean, I've been to court several times. I've never seen a court proceedings proceed like that. So, her connections as a city council definitely helped her and benefited her in the process, because things just disappeared. Well, you know what I mean? And it was already in the court system.
To be fair, Carlos, I think most of the times that you've probably been in court to follow up on things, it's been things that were pretty serious, and therefore, you know, that there wouldn't have been the possibility of that happening. Like when you normally when you're covering something in the courthouse, it's a pretty serious thing that would require further.
I'm not saying she deserves to go to jail, but he did deserve. In my opinion, I think it should have went through the proceedings because the fact that it happened in public, the fact that, that there's video showing the assault, it just makes the court look corrupt. You know, even if they are. It gives it that perception because of her connection. They should have went through with it so then they could show them, listen, we went through the process. She's totally innocent or totally guilty, whatever it is. And she would have been exonerated or she would have to face the consequences. And even if she did face the consequences, what would it be? A $50 fine? You know, whatever. Promise to be good. You know what I mean? But
I would have gotten creative. I would have gotten creative with the decision if I was the judge. I would have been like, the two of you were going on a date.
Hey, listen, believe it or not, you might not believe me, but many times behind the scenes I tried to get them to be more friendly. But believe it or not, because I really truly believe when people get along, even if they don't like each other, especially, you know, she wants to make New Bedford a better place, I assume. So does Gilly. You know, let's work together, put our differences aside and use our strengths. You know, to move forward. But unfortunately, I think their relationship has gone way too far past beyond that. But I'm always a believer in mending things and trying to make things work. I think everyone is able to change and do good, you know, in this world. So there's always that option. So if Linda Morad wants to be a decent human being, there's always that opportunity for her to start doing that. So,
all right. Well, we'll leave it on that positive note. You have a good day.
You too.
All right. We got to take a break here. We'll be back in just a few. 508-996-0500. And welcome back in. We've only got a couple of minutes here where I got to take another break. So, Sketty, I see that you're on hold. I'm going to ask you just to hang on because I got to let you know about Dash Laundromat right now. Dash Laundromat is moving to the south end of New Bedford. Well, they're expanding. They're going to keep their original location at One State Road in Dartmouth. And of course, as you've heard me talk about there, changed my life getting my laundry done at Dash. It's been amazing. Wash, dry, fold for less than $2 a pound. And also, that's with next day service, which is cheaper than any other place that I've seen around. And they do a better job. You're going to be able to pull those clothes right out of the bag and throw them on like I did this morning. And you can also sign up for their monthly service, the small tote monthly service, just $89 a month. They'll come every week. They'll pick it up at your home, wash, dry, fold, return it to you, deliver it back to your home. It's that easy to get your laundry done with Dash. But now they're moving to the south end of New Bedford as well. So in addition to having their location at One State Road in Dartmouth, they're also going to be expanding to the south end of New Bedford in the old Advance Auto Parts right across from Kilburn Mill to make it even easier for you to get it done with Dash. And that's going to be coming up sooner than you know. Follow along with all the progress by following along with Dash Laundromat on social media. And also you can go to dashlaundromat.com for more information. But you're going to get it done at Dash just like I do. And they can change your life like they've changed mine. Let me get this last break in and then we'll see if we can squeeze in a call. If not, Sketty, I'm going to have you hang on till after the news. We'll be right back. All right, we've got about 30 seconds. Sketty, I'm not going to make you get in 30 seconds. Do you mind holding on to the news?
No, I don't mind.
Okay, we'll do that. You hang on.
Okay.
All right, and we can take more of your calls coming up at 508-996-0500. And, of course, your app chat messages and your open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We got an app chat message from Mimi in Dartmouth who says, perhaps that poor man who was jailed in El Salvador is dead, and that's why Trump and the Salvadoran president are saying he won't